Welcome to the Happy Type 1 podcast, your exploration of a happy life with diabetes. In this podcast, we challenge the standard diabetes management through biohacking, exploring with various guests different ways to not just improve diabetes management, but also our overall well-being. Join us on this unique journey around the globe. Go with us in season 5 to Switzerland, the US and UK by traveling your mind from the comfort of your home in times when real-life travel is challenging for all of us. I'm your host, Julia Joseph, keto coach and type 1 German travel junkie, nutritionist and scientist with a vision of empowering other diabetics to live their lives to the fullest by getting off the blood sugar roller coaster. To do this, I run one-on-one nutritional trainings specialized on keto, free support groups, and of course, this podcast. You, type 1s, type nons, and all other types to today's episode with Paul. I send you a very warm welcome from London in the UK. I really hope you are doing well no matter where you're tuning in from. And I'm excited to spend the next 30 minutes with you listening to Paul's extraordinary work and dedication to make this world a better place. Paul is a type 1 diabetic from the US who loves running to manage his diabetes. Combining his need to run with his day job, he started a campaign called Outrun the Homelessness to disrupt intergenerational poverty in his region. He challenges the dominant idea that poverty is a moral position and believes housing is a human right. He also challenges us to think about the racist and sexist structures that make correlation exist with those issues at the first place. It is an episode about much more than a diabetes story, but about thriving beyond one's own challenge with diabetes and recognizing the struggle of others. Paul is a great example that diabetes cannot stop us, but rather inspires us to become more and support each other. Yet, Paul highlights that this is no inspirational porn. He says, "I'm not here for anyone else's inspiration." He talks about the betrayal people with disabilities face and what this definition means exactly. So let's listen to Paul and let's dive right in. I hope you enjoy this episode. And if you do, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps massively to produce this show for you. I send you much love. Let's get started. Welcome, Paul. I'm so happy to have you on the show today. How are you doing today?
Thank you very much for having me. I'm doing quite well. Yeah, thanks.
Perfect. Cool. You're a type 1 diabetic, just like me. And I saw on your Instagram profile that you wrote, "Not your inspiration." So what is this about?
Thank you very much for asking. It's actually the first time that someone's asked me about it. And so I'm happy to be able to speak to that. It's something that I've taken from the disability justice movement, from a concept called inspiration porn. So what inspiration porn is and what it refers to is the portrayal of people with disabilities as a form of inspiration for people who are not disabled. It's a very objectifying visual representation of someone with a disability overcoming a barrier or a challenge to make other people feel better about whatever situation they find themselves in. So whatever difficulty they're in, maybe, you know, these images are meant to make them think, well, it's not so bad because it could be worse or something like that. And it's very objectifying to people with disabilities.
It's very interesting. I like the term, did you say inspiration porn? I have never
inspiration
heard
porn. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure how well known the term is. I think certainly, the concept, is abundant out in the world, on social media. People are sharing images and, things like that. So I have it on my Instagram profile because it's important for me to, represent that I'm not here for someone else's inspiration, that I'm here doing the things that I'm doing for my own well-being and and hopefully in the service of others.
Yeah, I like this perspective. It's not your first aim to inspire someone, but if someone feels inspired by what you do, then that's great. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell us what you normally do in your profession?
Oh, yeah. So professionally, I work for a nonprofit here in Michigan outside of Kalamazoo, where I live. Our primary mission is to provide free summer camp to underserved youth. So it's a 100% free summer camp. Our programs have changed a little bit because of the COVID-19 pandemic, but we're still operating and we're still providing 100% cost-free summer camp to kids in our community. And so what that looks like is helping with transportation if people need, or some of the youth need help getting out to the camp. You know, we provide food, lodging, 100% free. We provide, you know, swimsuits, underwear, socks, anything that anyone will need to have a life-changing experience at our camp. That's what we're doing. That's what takes place in the summertime. And then in the off season, the other 10 months are 9 or 10 months out of the year. Our facilities are rented out to people who want to utilize our space for either meetings or retreats or overnight camp experiences. And I'm the person that coordinates those activities in the off season. I'm the hospitality director, the fancy title for for something.
Uh-huh. And so that I understand this correctly, the camp is for everyone to join, like all the kids to join.
It is a camp for people who are poor. So, or people who don't have the financial means to go to a typical summer camp. If you want to just come for a summer camp experience, we're not a camp for everybody. We're a camp for our underserved youth, and we're really trying to disrupt intergenerational poverty in trying to build these experiences and build skills that can really help folks climb the socioeconomic ladder, so to speak.
This is amazing. It's a really cool work you have, I think, with great social impact. Is that also called Open Doors?
Yeah. So Pretty Lake Camp is my employer. And then Open Doors is a nonprofit in Kalamazoo. I'm the vice president of the board for that nonprofit, the board of directors. The mission of that organization is to build relationships to overcome homelessness. And we do that by providing affordable housing to folks in our community with a commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Yeah, so both in my employment and in my service to the organization Open Doors, I get to address issues that I care about, issues of poverty, issues of homelessness or houselessness.
Perfect. Thank you for explaining. And in connection with your work, you started a fundraising campaign to Outrun the Homeless. And
yeah.
Why did you choose running to do that?
Yeah, I'm using the hashtag Outrun Homelessness. And I chose running to do that because running is something that I've over my entire life, it's something that I've always kind of been drawn to. That was always, if I was exercising or staying active, it would be through running. And so I was diagnosed with type 1 when I was 25. And after my diagnosis, there was this, I guess, a resurgence of motivation to stay healthy, more so than before my diagnosis. So, and running was always something that I knew had, health benefits, and then recognizing that it could be an integral and critical part of managing the disease is just kind of stuck around since then.
How do you manage type 1 diabetes at the moment? Are you wearing devices? Do you have a pump?
Wearing lots of devices. I do. I actually use a pump. I'm also using an injectable basal insulin. So I use both. I'm also wearing a CGM. Grateful to be able to have a CGM. that's not always the case, especially in the States. Health insurance is not in an ideal state right now. So, I've just to speak to that, just because of the economic situation resulting from the COVID-19 pandemic, my insurance, I've had to go through 3 different changes with health insurance companies. And so my costs are constantly fluctuating. And for a period of that time, my insurance was such that I couldn't afford to pay for my CGM supply. Don't want to get into all the nitty gritty of health insurance, but it was just cost prohibitive for me to wear a CGM. And so all that to say, I'm grateful to be on one now. And I'm also grateful for all the open source programmers and developers out there, because I do rely on some open source software to get my data where it needs to be.
Yeah, because it's sometimes not so easy going for a run and then also managing type 1 diabetes with exercise. I find that the management itself is easier if I don't exercise, if I just do the same every day. So although it has a lot of health benefits, it is also more challenging. But how do you find that, managing your type 1 diabetes and exercising for your fundraising?
Exercise does bring a particular challenge to managing type 1 diabetes. So like you said, it's easier if you do the same thing every day. And so I don't run every day, but it's easier if I do in some regard. It's not always easy on my body, but sometimes it's easier on my blood sugar and maintaining like a high level of, or a consistent level of insulin sensitivity before, during, and after exercise. In terms of fundraising, I've been able to connect this need of mine to run, because I do consider it a need, both in terms of type 1 management, but also in terms of managing my mental health. I've been able to connect this need that I have to run and also connect it to a greater social benefit with the fundraiser, is raise awareness around affordable housing and homelessness and houselessness in Kalamazoo. And I'm doing that through the building of relationships, both with the people that I run with at work or on a day-to-day basis. I'm able to use this talking point to challenge the dominant ideas about poverty. And that's really important for me, is to be able to represent that poverty is not a moral stance, or it's not a moral position. No one deserves to be homeless, and that, in fact, housing is actually a human right. And so I'm able to speak to that, and I'm able to disrupt that that a little bit and through these relationships.
Mm-hmm. How far did you run by now, and when did you start?
That is a good question. So thank you for asking. So I started doing this campaign last March, so March of 2021, right when the pandemic kind of hit home. Mm-hmm. So it was like kind of simultaneous, and I didn't do it because of the pandemic, but I did it because I wanted to contribute to the organization that I was serving on the board at. And so I did set an end goal for later in the year, for like midsummer. But of course, I kept on running, and I kept my commitments to the people who were donating and supporting me by sponsoring some miles. Since the start of March in 2021, I've personally run 1,901 miles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well done. And
so, yeah. Do you need that in kilometers?
Yes, please.
That's 3,059 kilometers.
So it's much more than I thought in kilometers. Okay. Yeah.
Wow. And to be honest, it's a lot more than I thought I was getting myself into.
So how much do you run per week? Roughly.
Right now I'm running around 40, give or take, a week. And that fluctuates with the winter and my work schedule and things like that. my mental health, my motivation.
Same with me.
Yeah.
I ran 40 kilometers, not miles, kilometers last year in summer, but then with the winter, I still run, but just much less in winter. And I should start running more, but I haven't.
And the thing is, I had no idea I was going to run this much when I started doing this. I ran more miles last year than I had run in the five previous years combined. So it was really a surprise to me that how well I took to it and really what a difference it's made in my life and hopefully in other people's lives too through my campaign.
Yeah, I hope so too. Sounds great.
I do want to be done with the fundraising portion by midsummer because I don't want to drag it out for anyone and I don't want to burn anyone out on donating for the costs, you know. So
yeah, sure.
And it's hard work. It's hard work asking people for money, and a little selfishly, I'd like to be done fundraising at some point.
You're already doing an amazing job, I think. And on your Instagram, I also saw that you showed on some photos kind of a printout saying justice for Miss Taylor. What is this about?
Yeah, thank you for asking about that. So I'm participating at the leadership of some folks who organized in San Diego, and they formed a group called Run for Brianna. Run for Brianna was started by Gina Wickstead and Nicole Hodges. And so I was witnessing a lot of their posts pop up. And essentially what they're doing is bringing runners together to call for action around the murder of Breonna Taylor. Over a year ago, was killed by police after they executed a no-knock warrant. And the warrant was not for her arrest, but she was killed in bed. And so there's been a lot of anger and grief and a lot of protests around her case in particular. And so I felt it was important to lend my voice and what platform that I do have to help support justice, what justice can be served in this case. I wanted to add my voice to it and bring some others along. So what Run for Brianna is, all across the United States, there are local runs that are put on by different coordinators in those cities. So in coordination with the folks in San Diego, I'm able to organize this Run for Brianna and really ask for action steps to be taken for the case. Things like outlawing no-knock warrants in Kentucky and making them illegal nationwide. Police officers who killed Breonna Taylor still need to be fired. We need to appoint a special prosecutor for the case, and then we're also calling on some federal action. And so all those things are part of the Justice for Brianna posts that I make.
Wow, that's super important. Yeah, I remember that it was big in the news here as well. Yeah, I remember that they broke into her house while she was sleeping, and then she got shot while sleeping in her bed. Thank you so much for standing up for these kind of cases and looking for justice in so many areas of life and working with so many different people. I really appreciate that. How can people support your campaign?
That is a great question. One easy way is to donate money to it. If folks go to my Instagram page at @outrun_homelessness, there's a donation page on our a donation form that's run and put together by Open Doors, the organization. And then I also include Venmo, Cash App, and PayPal information, because a lot of times that's just easier for folks. And so that's one thing that they can do. If they're local, they can join me for a run. Every Saturday, I am meeting up downtown with folks to run for Brianna and take action steps. So the action steps that I referred to are also in the link in my profile, my Instagram profile. So folks can take those action steps for Brianna as well. Yeah. And then the last thing I was going to suggest is that we can really start challenging the ideas about poverty and why race has been correlated with poverty, and consider why someone's sexual identity has been correlated to poverty. You know, in particular, we see Black women being the face of poverty in so many different ways. And so what I would ask your listeners is to think about the racist and sexist structures that make that correlation exist in the first place.
Yeah, thank you. Super important. Thank you so much for sharing. I really appreciate it. For the end, I have five beginnings of sentences, which I will say, and it would be great if you could just complete them with whatever comes to your mind first.
Sure.
So the first one is, type one is?
Irritating.
Yeah. What I know today, I wished I'd known back then, is?
That it's okay to rest.
I'm grateful for?
My partner, Lindsay.
I'm a gift to this world because?
I'm passionate.
One thing on my bucket list is?
To finish the book that I'm reading. Which is, I guess, I suppose you'll want to know, 1Q84 by Haruki Murakami.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you. I appreciate the invitation.
That's all for today's episode. But if you want to improve your well-being by running flatter blood glucose lines, reducing your HbA1c, having less hypos and more time in target range, getting rid of brain fog and feeling more energized, losing body fat, or simply keeping your weight stable and making healthier food choices, just like other clients I help, then we need to talk. Send me a message via Instagram or my website to arrange a free call. As a nutritionist and a type 1 diabetic myself, I'm excited to share how I achieved all that and how we can tackle your individual challenges together. And if you did not manage to take notes while listening to this very episode, head over to my blogcast at thehappytype1.com, where you can get a summary of the key takeaways and many illustrations of today's show. There you can also find additional free resources, including blood sugar friendly recipes, for example, for keto brownies and low carb pizzas and much more. In this sense, thanks for listening, and make sure you subscribe to the podcast to get notified when we continue our journey with personal stories from the diabetes community on nutrition and mental well-being. Stay tuned for the next episode coming out next Wednesday. I wish you a beautiful day full of colors and laughter. You are a gift to this world. Now go out and shine.